thing, so I'm just going to record at this end and hopefully it'll record on this computer. There we go. And hopefully it'll kill me CPU. Jesus. It's all so complicated doing it from here. It's easy down in the office. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're back in seclusion, in isolation, because we are stuffed because the local police are clamping down. We're not Derbyshire, though, which is good. Derbyshire have got a bit OTT. They've dyed lakes black so people don't want to take pictures by them, and they've chased people with drones across the moors, which is a little bit too much.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's gone a bit too far. But we've finally sorted the audio issues out, so it does work from here. Allegedly, we'll see at the end. We've got no Chuck Doyner doing recording, and last week we had the option to make co-host, but maybe that's because I haven't claimed host for myself. There's a thought. But joining me, this is a brilliant panel. We might get someone else in yet who hasn't been on for a while. But starting us off top left, it's Jeff. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. And it's great to be here with everyone and to pretend like I actually have people physically with me.
How's isolation, mate? Biting hard?
You know, yeah, it gets old.
It gets old quick.
It gets old quick. And it snowed yesterday and it's snowing again today. So I haven't been outside walking, which is probably for the best because we actually now have three mountain lions roaming through the neighborhoods in Boulder.
Oh, okay. What, in the streets?
Yes, just like walking down the streets, hanging out in people's front yards, climbing up into the trees and looking into their backyards, watching for their little dogs to eat.
My, that's antisocial behavior.
Yeah, or it's brilliant incentive to not go outside.
Yeah. They're not self-isolating.
I was just thinking Derbyshire police actually are quite a soft, really, in comparison.
And we've been warned to start watching out for bears because apparently the bears are getting a lot more active right now than mm-hmm. they usually are.
That sounds a little bit fruity, doesn't it? It's like the bears are getting more active. Jiggy, jiggy.
Yeah, well, you know, we live in interesting times.
Oh, well. Next to him, Patrice, how you doing, buddy?
Doing very well. It's crazy how like time flies when you're working from home.
What, like a week has just gone?
Yeah, like I mean, I just literally remember being on the Big Show or on the Mac Show yesterday. Basically,
it's a blur.
It's already another week.
I sat down the other day to do some editing on some photos. I did three in a whole day. Okay, it's crap. It's crap. Joining us from Liverpool. The godfather of Mac, the man with Mac, Don McAllister, where the bloody hell have you been, boy?
Oh, everywhere, everywhere. But now it's nice to be back. It's been a while. It's been a while. And I suddenly understand now your email from before, because you said, we can't do Skype today because the police are out stopping people.
Yeah, no.
And that didn't, so that just meant you couldn't go to the studio, so you're doing it from home. So I understand that. So
yeah.
It is a bit
weird. Yeah, no, there's no mountain lions around here or bears. I couldn't fix it up that much, but...
No.
You're well. You got trapped on a cruise liner during a COVID outbreak, which was a bit of a nightmare, but you survived.
Oh, yeah. Well, luckily, we didn't have the infection on board, but it just meant that we couldn't get off the ship for 2 weeks. So it was supposed to be like a 10-day cruise with lots of stops, and it ended up being a two-week cruise with no stops. So that was a bit frantic, but and it was a long way away as well. It was out in the South Pacific, so it was just when we left. I mean, there was all the hoo-ha in China, but there was no. Obviously, had I known it would turn out like this, we wouldn't have gone. But everything was fine, and then we spent a couple of days on Easter Island, and then we got on the ship, and then the day after we'd sailed, the captain says, "Oh, by the way, no one's going to let us dock anywhere, so we're just going to go straight to Tahiti." And then when we got to Tahiti, they wouldn't let us off until we'd done 14 days on the cruise. So, and then all the flights shut down, and the flights we booked we couldn't take, so they had to rebook repatriation flights, and it was a complete mess. But the good news is we got home, and we're all safe and sound, so that's good.
Brilliant, mate. Glad you're here. And as a founding member of the Mac Show, you're always welcome, mate. The seat is always open.
Thank
you
very much.
And last but by no means least, the man who has got a light that was on him, but now it's not on him because it was blinding him, Callum from IMN Max. How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right now. I've been blinded, as you say, yeah.
not too bad, going a bit stir crazy if I'm honest, but yeah, really good to be on the podcast to talk to other people, which is fantastic.
I was just thinking, I took Bryony to the supermarket a little bit earlier on, and I was thinking, if we get stopped by the police, what am I going to say? And it's like, yeah, is this essential? Yeah, she's 11 years old. She's been in the same building for 2 frigging weeks, mate. She's bouncing off the walls.
Very essential.
Of course it's essential. God, blimey. The week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on, all the things that have happened. Oh, by the way, I did a Zoom call this week, right? And has anyone had a Zoom bombing thing happen?
Not yet.
No.
So we posted one out, and I made the mistake of putting it on Twitter. So that got bombed pretty quickly. And then we started a private message, and that got bombed as well. And I don't know how that got bombed, but I was talking to
people are just randomly trying numbers.
I think it is just that, yeah. But I was talking to a woman yesterday, and I was telling her about getting this bombed. And I said, and these guys turned up, and they started showing porn on the screen. But I kicked them out of the room, and that was it. It was done and dusted. She said, "How did you know?" I was kind of like, that's one of those moments that lacks punctuation. So I just said, well, there was a girl and there was a bloke with an enormous penis who was having sex with her. So I figured that was porn. No, how did you know who was showing the porn? Well, there was only 5 of us in the chat, so it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like if you're using Zoom, like one thing, I mean, don't use your personal Zoom ID. Use like an individual for each meeting. Set a password if you do.
First story then. Apple continuing to pay for contract workers whilst they're on site as well as. I think that's pretty cool. They're doing a good job at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they're picking up the badge for, because the thing is we've got, there's no end of firms here in the UK who furloughed workers now because the government has got a scheme to pay them, which is brilliant. Apple picking up for contract workers, because I'm guessing the system in the States is not the same, it's pretty cool.
If there's a company on the planet who can totally afford to pay their hourly staff and their contract workers for like a month or two or a couple of years probably even, it's Apple.
Yeah, true.
It's very clearly Apple.
I think it's always so true that if there's one company you'd expect to do the right thing, you're probably going to expect Apple to do that as well. So yes, one, they can afford it, which is great, but also you would expect them really to step up and not let people down like that.
I thought
it's a big for their brand image as well, isn't it? It's have a lot to operate to, even I know it's, I think it is all one and the same thing that when you go in the Apple store, you get a certain level of service, and when you work for them, you do as well. So I think it all links into that. Kind of ethos and the way they want to operate.
Yeah, they've got some good stuff as well at the moment for they've talked about the resale staff being given options to work from home as well as, so which is nice. Sorry, Patrice, go ahead.
If you think about it, like Apple is probably saving some money in some areas because they don't have like the utilities for Apple Park are probably less because less people are working there. Stuff like that. So they can they can totally, even if they didn't have the massive cash pile that they have, they could totally afford that. Like it simply makes sense. Like it's good. It's good for them. It's good for the economy. It's good for the people that they don't have to fear losing their jobs. I mean, Apple wants to have those people back once everything returns to normal. It just makes sense on so many levels.
Yeah.
It's just good business and good people.
And the buying the affordable accommodation for their people in San Francisco who can't afford it, even though they're millionaires.
That's true. That's true.
It's probably cheaper for Apple to continue to pay these people, especially contractors, than to just let them go, because the cost to get new people to fill those spots later on and get them trained and up to speed is probably... I'm sure they did the math and it's just cheaper to keep paying these people than to try and start over later on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We had an inquiry today for the camera system that me and Andy have made. someone wanted to use it on their site because it's a demolition site and they're bringing it down, but they've been told to stop by the local council. So they're crapping themselves that peregrine falcons are going to nest on the top of it because it's perfect for them. It's really, really high. And they said, could you put your cameras up and we can watch for seeing if they're building a nest? And I'm like, yeah, we can do that. Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, it'll be free. No, it won't be free.
No. For sure not.
So Apple have bought Dark Sky. I thought this was quite shattering because Dark Sky, it's not synonymous with Apple because it's actually accurate.
Yeah. I was honestly surprised. I didn't, like, that was one of the...
I was gobsmacked. Gobsmacked, mate. Understatement.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it didn't really make any immediate sense other than I think they're good, like a good company and good developers.
The product is very high quality.
Yeah, exactly. It's a question, like, what's Apple going to do with it? Like, are they hiring for the people? Are they hiring for the product? Like, do they need actual good weather app because their weather is crap? Like, it's a question.
Yeah, mate, you should have...
Well, their weather app, I mean, it's just using weather.com
Yahoo Weather, I think.
Yahoo Weather.
Yeah.
What they get with Dark Sky is Dark Sky's hyper-local weather data network.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of giving you weather that says it's, what is it right now? It is 25 degrees Fahrenheit in your town, where it's picking from just a standard single weather data point. Yep. It's getting weather data from all these other sources, so it tells you what the weather is on your block, which to me has always been the killer feature in Dark Sky. And I'm betting that's what Apple wants.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually. I mean, I've had that experience in Phoenix where, like, I think the weather was taken from the airport, which is like, I mean... Like, that's 45 minutes away, depending on where you are, and the weather could be fairly different. Like, I mean, it might be raining down there and be colder, and up where I was, like, it was nice and sunny. Like, it made no sense at all.
You know, I just had a thought, which is, this would be great for Apple's own weather app, but what if they put it into Maps also?
So, I was just about to say that.
Yeah, you can just see weather overlaid on Maps, but then also when you're getting driving directions, it can warn you. I mean, like in Colorado,
yeah, I thought CarPlay.
You can have radical weather changes over the course of a mile, and so now you can get your driving directions that also include alerts about, hey, you should watch for black ice up ahead, or there might be whiteout snow conditions, or I don't know what happens in places where it isn't cold and snowy. You know, they can tell you about those things too.
Yeah, well, the thing is, as well, is I'm sure
it's come a long ways, but with weather as well.
Sorry,
it's the underlying technology that they've bought, because the actual app itself is very un-Apple-like. I think it's a great app and it looks beautiful, but it's quite a unique GUI and quite a unique user interface. So I'm sure they're going to strip that off eventually and just use the underlying technology. I think that's the main buy.
Well, they haven't stripped away the app, so you'd have thought they were Sherlocking it or taking it in, they were going to maybe make it their own, but they haven't. It's still $3.99 in the App Store. And,
well, it'll take a while, though, won't it, before they're able to disconnect it? Because they're going to, is it true they're going to remove it from the Android store? Because there's an Android version, I think. Mm-hmm. So that's actually going to be stopped.
Mm-hmm. And depending on their plans, they might make it free first, simply to, like, not have that anymore. And then, like, well,
the free is weather, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just supplants what weather currently is.
Yeah, exactly. But they did the same thing with Workflow. And then eventually they shut down the Workflow app. Like, it just takes a while. It's not something that they can do, like, today. I mean, they want to have a replacement in place before they shut down any app.
Batwinch has got an issue with refresh rate. She says, if they put it into maps, wouldn't that be weather a year ago? No.
Probably.
No, I always got the impression with Dark Sky. I've always had it on my phone as long as I can remember since it came out, and I always got the impression it was kind of like in 10 minutes it's going to rain 10 drops on your head and then it'll stop, and it's like holy mm-hmm. crap, it in 10 minutes it rained 10 drops on my head and it stopped.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
It's good. It was a real good app. Yeah. If you wanted it for quality, you'd buy it in a heartbeat if you had the money for it, which Apple have clearly. But it's what they integrate it with, I think, that's going to be the key, mm-hmm. the key part of it.
Yeah, I mean, and Dark Sky isn't like they're not providing their own data anyway. Like they're integrating with other data sources, but those relationships and that knowledge, how to do that properly and how to make something out of the data, that's important.
Yeah, but I've noticed
the data itself is. Well, I don't want to say useless because it is very useful, but like you need to know how to use it.
But the interesting thing is Carrot does the same kind of service where they talk about the time scales mm-hmm. versus the precipitation versus the duration and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's Carrot is actually using Dark Sky.
No, but I've seen the figures different. That's what I can't work out, because Carrot is carrying different figures from Dark Sky.
That's interesting. Carrot has said that with the time frame that Apple has set out for sunsetting the API that all these other apps are using for Dark Sky, that mm-hmm. they'll be okay.
Mm. So they probably have other data sources already.
Yeah.
Probably.
Mm. Good purchase.
Yeah, okay.
Good purchase. And but it's just going to be interesting to see if they do anything with it, or whether they just if all they do is buy that into weather app, that's wasted money, surely.
I don't know. I mean,
what, just weather app?
At least it makes the default weather app that most people probably still use way better. I mean, just remember, like, it's only a fraction of a percentage of people that actually buy Dark Sky.
I guess in that sense, it would be like when Apple purchased Shazam, because mm-hmm. The app is still out there. You can still use it.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. as far as I know, excuse me, the only place that Apple is actually really using the Shazam technology themselves is to add lyrics into iTunes music.
And Siri integration.
Siri integration.
No, I can see. I can see Dark Sky continuing, and mm-hmm. then using the data in the weather app, and that being it for mm-hmm. a while. Definitely.
Yeah, could be.
But they could be doing so much more.
I think it'd be interesting to see what happens to the people who've paid for if it does get integrated into Apple Weather. Do they get anything?
I want my money back.
Oh, yeah.
No, that won't happen. I mean, Apple support might be nice, and say, I mean, if someone asks and they bought it within like whatever the last couple of months, they might be nice enough to do it. But I wouldn't expect it. Like, I wouldn't. It won't be a default.
Buy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still
on the App Store.
Yeah. Still there. Mm-hmm. Still being bought. Apple's come in for a bit of a kicking this week. The anti-competitive behavior of them has been a US, congressional hearing. Tile, PopSocket, Sonos, Basecamp, Amazon, Apple, and Google have all got a kicking for anti-competitive behavior. Apple's anti-competitive behavior has gotten worse over the course of the last few months, says Tile. Mm.
Well, I mean, honestly, I don't believe Tile here. I don't trust what they're doing. I think they're using this to their advantage. Either they know something that we don't, or it's based on the rumors.
Well,
that
Apple
the Tile's
specific problem was the fact that the location services were Apple had been encouraging, because of the pop-up that comes up saying this has been tracking mm-hmm. you for the last 3 weeks. Are you sure you want it to carry on? They were suggesting that because Apple is tracking people constantly with the phone anyway and doesn't put that message up for any of the Apple services, it's mm-hmm. knocking off the third-party location services in favor of Apple. That was the anti-competitive element, because it doesn't say Apple's been tracking you for the last 3 weeks. Are you sure you want Apple to track you?
Well, but the difference is Apple is also not sending you location data somewhere, whereas Tile actually is.
No, Apple's definitely taking your location data. It's anonymized potentially,
only if you opt into that.
No, if you've got location services enabled, then Apple gets your location data.
No.
Not without that.
No, read. You have to opt into sharing that data.
When you enable the phone?
Yeah, and you can change that later as well.
No, I thought the shared data was only with developers.
No, there's another one where it's like analytics data.
Right, okay.
That's an extra thing. So you have to opt into that. I mean, the default is that you do. So you have to tell it not to, but no, I mean, you can disable that. And other than that, I mean, the location data stays on device.
I've got a thing in my head that if you click location services and you enable location services, Apple then is one of the devices that gets that location service by default.
Yeah, well, the Apple apps get them. So that there is a difference. I mean, you don't get you don't get the pop-up that, like, whatever.
But no Apple apps give you a pop-up
either. Find my app, for example, is using that.
Yeah, it has to, obviously.
But you have to opt in. I mean, that's something that actually you can actually disable that the Find My app doesn't get your location data. That's one option you have,
which is kind of then counterintuitive to why you've got the Find My phone app.
Well, you can still, I mean, you're sure, but you can still do things like erase the phone or play an alarm or something. Like, there are still options. Like, it's not completely useless.
I think their problem is, though, that Apple has got a clear intent for the deviation of third-party apps for location, when it never offers up any information about its own applications tracking location when location service is enabled.
I'm reading through the terms for location services and privacy right now, because I thought, hey, why not? and I'm not through all of it yet. But what I've seen so far is that location services is per application, and it does not exclude Apple's own apps from that.
Mm-hmm.
It's for each app or website.
Now, I was going to agree with you totally there, because every time I've started an application, it says, do you want it to access your location, and you have to positively say yes. Because I had the problem that I bought a firm called Milewiz. I didn't buy the firm, I bought the application. I got a bit ahead of myself there.
Nice.
One day. But I bought the application, and it said, do you want to use it? Yes. And then I did an iOS update, and it stopped Milewiz from taking my location, which was a pain in the ass, because I lost 3 months of mileage data that I wanted for tax. So that was extremely annoying to me. And I didn't get an option that Milewiz could then re-enable my location data. But I don't recall ever seeing anything, does Apple want to know your location on any of their stuff for maps? Or it's just, if you've got location services enabled, Apple seems to be in there by default. Yeah. But if you're reading that and saying that I'm wrong, then...
Yeah,
go ahead, Teresa. So I found more info for you, Ewan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which actually supports what you're saying.
Right.
So here's the paragraph. If location services is on, your iPhone will periodically send the geotagged locations of nearby Wi-Fi hotspots and cell towers where supported by a device in an anonymous and encrypted form to Apple to be used for augmenting this crowdsourced database of Wi-Fi hotspot and cell tower locations.
Right. Go on, Patrice. What were you about to say there?
No, I found the system services. So you can even disable location data for system services. If you go into settings, privacy, location services, and then you can scroll all the way down.
But what I'm saying,
going back to Ewan's point, I understand what the company is saying, in that you know, that they get prompted, so it gives you the option to switch them off, whereas Apple services don't, which is I think true, because I've never seen an Apple service say, well, we've been tracking a location for such a while, do you want to keep this on?
Well,
I think it's a valid point from the competition side of things anyway.
Well, it definitely is, because Tile only do things that are location based, so they do key fob trackers and stuff like that. So you put it on your key fob And it's based on the fact that there is a shared network there as well. So if I take my phone and I walk past someone else's key fob, it registers that I saw it here. So if someone has said my key fob is missing in their database, my recognition of that key fob then flags up their database and said it was last seen here. So it is their entire functionality is location-based information. And Apple are prompting users and scaring users, maybe in inverted commas, to switching that off when it actually, maybe users don't realize that entirely disables the function of the device that they purchased.
I don't know so much though, because I think if you're a user of the Tile service, you're going to know they're going to use location services. So it's just a prompt. I mean, you'd never probably switch it off because you'd know that you're going to disable the entire device. Yeah. I think it's more for when it's an app that you. Yeah, I think it's for more when it's an app that's using location service and you don't know about it, or perhaps you've installed it and you haven't used it for a while and you don't no intention to use it. So. You know, you get the prompt, you say, oh yeah, I don't use that anymore, so I will actually switch that off.
So I've just had a thought that I've just done the update, haven't I, to the new OS this week, 15, isn't it?
Which one? iOS?
Not 15, iOS 13.4.
Yeah.
13.4.
So I'm going to go in because I'm just thinking maybe Marwiz has not been given permission for location data.
So while you're looking that up, Ewan, I've been reading more of what's in the location services and privacy document, and there's actually a lot of information that's being sent to Apple, but it says it's all anonymized. So if you have location services turned on, just as an example, even if you're not using maps to do navigation or something while you're driving, your iPhone is going to periodically send GPS coordinates, your travel speed, barometric pressure, stuff like that to Apple. And it says anonymized. And this is part of the system for showing traffic activity on roads.
Yeah, but I mean, again, you like as far as I remember, it's part of the opt-in at the beginning when you set up the phone, and you can always disable it.
No, because I think once you click location services, it overrides that.
No, you can like in this. That's what I showed. Like in location services, you will find all Apple apps, like even App Store and all of that, and you will find also system services where you can disable, for example, Apple Pay.
You know cell what? Network I forgot. Search. Yep, you're right. That's all there. It's at the very, very bottom of the list.
Yes, that's the only thing I don't like. I think it should be up top because it's like a system.
Yeah. Okay.
But you can even like product. I mean, there's for example iPhone analytics. You can disable that. Like it's all in here. Improving maps is probably what you just said.
Yep, routing and traffic and improving maps.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Networking and wireless is the Wi-Fi and cell service, so they're all here. I mean, is Apple doing the best job explaining that and telling people that they can opt out? No, absolutely.
That's quite a lot to explain, though, as well, to be fair.
Yeah.
And Bob's put in the chat room, Apple engages in anti-competitive behavior all the time, as does any firm with any amount of market power, but American antitrust policy has been seriously weakened in the last 20 years. As a result, the U.S. economy has become increasingly dominated by oligopoly firms. I probably said that wrong.
I mean, honestly, it's. I mean, I don't want to defend Apple here because I think there are things that they do.
Yeah, they do stuff that's not good on purpose. Like that. Yeah, no, that's fine.
Yeah. On the other hand, I think a lot of times where people think, I mean, also Tile think it's anti-competitive. It's simply Apple doing what makes sense for them and their customers. Like, I mean, if they see an issue or if they see like an opportunity and say, hey, I mean, we could provide, I don't know, improve. I mean, the cell service and Wi-Fi thing, we can provide like better Wi-Fi tracking, location tracking, whatever, if we do this.
Yeah.
They do that. There is probably a company out there that did that before. Like, I mean, the whole Sherlock thing. I mean, sometimes it's not malicious. Sometimes it's not someone is trying to do it to like cut out someone else in the market. Sometimes it's simply something that they think would improve the system for everyone.
Yeah.
So I mean, what we just talked about, like that like, I mean, you could say buying Dark Sky is anti-competitive and putting that into the system, because there are apps like Carrot Weather and so on that do the same thing.
That use Dark Sky.
The difference is, yeah, no, the I difference, think, it, the I difference think. Is it's 10, like it might be whatever, like 1% of like all users use and buy Dark Sky versus like 100% of people getting a good experience if they use the weather app.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a fine line between like you know, being really competitive and offering the best kind of software and devices for customers. I think that's a kind of massive you know, a very small line rather that's you know, well, is very difficult to kind of cross.
Yes and no, because it's the line is when you start to promote your own over everyone else's, and that's what the comment was from Tile, was the fact that everyone mm-hmm. else is being asked to switch off, but no one's asking to switch Apple stuff mm-hmm. off periodically. So
Apple are bad for it. I mean, it's something I see quite a bit in the hardware world as well, with the way they kind of, you know, little things like the kind of screws they use. I know it sounds silly, but it means that someone at home can't take a Phillips screwdriver and open the bottom of their MacBook.
That's always been the thing. The Apple invention of the screw head is yeah, legendary.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it doesn't do anything because people just buy another set of screwdrivers.
Well, you have to wait till I fix it and release a kit that's got it in it.
Oh, that takes usually like whatever 5 minutes.
Yeah, no.
32 seconds. Yeah.
Bob Beach has put an oligopoly is an industry dominated mm-hmm. by just a few big firms. Thank you, Bob. Mm-hmm. Thank you for saving us from our own itinerance.
Yeah.
Very happy. Fears over iPhone 12 components delivery is not the issue anymore, apparently. Apple, there's a story that suggests that Apple is okay to carry on producing the 12 as per mm-hmm. the spec and launch in September. But what they're saying the issue is actually consumer confidence in economy for purchase, because no one's spending any bloody money at the moment.
Honestly, I'm a little bit fed up with this whole thing. Like, I mean, it's basically, everybody's complaining. I mean, it's either, oh, nobody, like, they can produce it. Oh, no, they can produce it, but they don't get parts. Oh, no, they can produce it, and it's fine, but people are not buying it. Like, it's always something that's wrong with it. And I don't believe it at this point. I'm like, I mean, let's just wait and see.
I thought we'd get longer out of that than the Tile story. I'm obviously wrong.
Well, I mean,
I was gobsmacked how much we went on about the Tile story.
No, I'm not the only one on the panel. Like, so maybe someone else has, like, a different opinion.
I think, you know, I don't think there's going to be any issues getting parts and getting the components themselves. I mean, I had stuff arrive from China today that I've ordered, you know, however many weeks ago I ordered it, and it turned up today. Fantastic. I do think there is something in the fact that, you know, consumer confidence may be a bit low, but I think, to be honest, by September, I'd think that would be sorted anyway. So,
if you're gonna know one way or the other.
Yeah, I think it is, and I think you'll know that quite quickly, to be honest. So I don't think anything, I don't think Apple will be worried, and I don't think they'd be planning to postpone the launch of the phone. I just think it's something they'll probably have an eye on a bit closer to the time. But I think now, in terms of getting the parts, obviously, you know, says there's no issue getting them. It is going to be that consumer confidence, but you'd hope by September we'd be over the worst of it. You'd hope.
Don, any thoughts?
Well, it's the same old thing. Is if it wasn't the current situation, they'd be worrying about other things to do with the coming iPhone launch. It's just a thing that happens every year, 6 months before, 8 months before. There's always a whole host of rumors, the problems in production, problems with this. You know, it really depends on the actual scenario at the time, but. Yeah, I think September's quite a way out, really. Things are changing so quickly that I think if they can produce the phone, they won't have any problem selling it. You know, it's just, but again, it's just the, you know, another storyline to keep us all, to try and sort of bash Apple again as to, you know, the how the mighty might fall if this doesn't happen or that might happen. So I'm not really too concerned about it at the moment.
I saw a story the other day that they were saying that they reckon that the COVID outbreak is linked to the release of 5G. I was kind of like,
oh
my God. I have sat. I was lying awake this morning at 3 o'clock, and I was just kind of like, how? How is that? How is one connected? How does there any benefit to connecting one to the other, even if you could? Why would you do that? Yeah, we want to clear out the Earth's population so that everyone can get reception on 5G, otherwise it's going to be a failure. Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know.
That's an idea.
It's a government conspiracy to control us all. Just like COVID is a government conspiracy to control us all. Just like every other conspiracy theory that comes up is the government's last-ditch effort to be able to control us all.
Yeah, there was a great there was the thing on a guy on a Joe Rogan show, and he was an investigative virologist, so he goes and looks at where patient zero is and all that kind of stuff. And he said this thing, you know, about this conspiracy about the fact that it's a released antigen. And the guy went, look, if we could release a virus that was that sophisticated, it could attack old people and just clear the old population out and then move on to he said we'd have cured cancer by now. This is not a conspiracy. This is a ferret being sat over the top of a chicken in a Chinese market, and it's passed a viral onto the chicken that it wouldn't normally give onto it. So
yeah, and I mean about the whole like demand thing, I think one thing that probably speaks for Apple more than other companies is that let's face it, like Apple products are more expensive in general. So it's like the people buying Apple products are probably like a little bit more well off, I want to say, more knowledge workers, like at least on average, a little bit like more knowledge workers, more people like us.
The people that are sat at home on furlough watching this show right now. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, but I mean, we're less impacted. Just think about like everybody that's working in restaurants or whatever, they can't work at all. A lot of people still work from home in like our area. It's not everybody, and I'm pretty sure there will be an impact because not everybody will be able to like afford a new iPhone or want to buy a new iPhone. But I think like on average, I think the impact on Apple will be less than it would be on other companies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like I'm pretty sure the lower tier manufacturers will have a bigger issue.
Yeah. I'm expecting that when the new iPhone models come out, that we will see lower sales than we typically see, because there's a significant and growing number of people who are unemployed. And that number's not going to shrink between now and September. It's only going to grow.
No. Nope.
And so at the same time, I don't expect Apple is going to suddenly lose iPhone users, because those people that already have iPhones but now can't afford to buy them, they're not just going to get rid of their phone. They'll just keep using the iPhone they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I think something else that'd be interesting to see as well will be if the Apple stores are still closed at that stage, the kind of distribution, how that will work. Will obviously they'll have to be posted in some form, but what kind of experience will that be? Because obviously it's quite a big event, people queuing outside the Apple store than what before, isn't it? So be interesting to see the difference there.
Now we can thank Angela for like switching basically everything over to mobile online delivery, online orders. Remember, that was a couple of years ago where they stopped, like where they tried to actively push the whole order online and don't go to the store thing.
Yeah, Magic Man's put a thing in the chat room here. He says, what about unsold stocks of iPhone 11s? He's put iPong 11s, which I don't recall, but okay. iPhone 11.
it's the new version of Pippin.
Exactly. But I think the thing is, they always keep the same form factor for 2 years, don't they? So the 5 was consistent, you know, for 5 and 5S. Now. So you always went through that S rotation. Mm-hmm. So there'll be an 11S, I guess, rather than the 12. So I would think that the form factor is the same. So if they've got excess 11s, they'll just strip them down and replace components.
And I don't think it's a big issue for Apple. I mean, they're very good at managing their supply chain. They're never producing too many of them, and even if the demand completely tanked right now, they can. I mean, they don't go bad just because people didn't buy them. They can still they simply don't produce as many 11s anymore, and then just sell them over the next year or two or however long. I mean, just remember, they usually keep previous model like around anyway. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it makes any difference for Apple. Like, they just don't order as many new 11s, basically.
Yeah. That's a very good point, because they will, I mean, they've been in this game for a long time now. They will sort of adjust the supply based on the expected demand. So, you know, they probably won't make as many this time around because that's the mm-hmm. thing to do. So come the launch day, you'll still find that they're going to, you know, it's going to be difficult to get one. The lead times will push out to a couple of weeks mm-hmm. to the first initial orders. And that's all built mm-hmm. into their supply yeah. and creation.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, I think the harder thing this year will be to predict the exact demand. But then Apple is willing to, like, pick a number and see how it goes and, like, ramp up if they have to or ramp down if they have to. Like, they usually do that every year anyway.
Chat room's chiming in. Batwinch blames the Illuminati. I don't mind paying for Apple stuff. They generally last yonks, says Batwinch. Or she says yoinks, mm-hmm. which is with like a cross with an extended time period and a pig. My MacBook Pro is about 10 years old now. I agree, Batwinch. Apple stuff is expensive, but it's great quality. I want iPone, says Mullerbike. Dodgy says, my missus just upgraded from a 6X to a 10R and loves it. What, do you keep her nice. In the cupboard or something, mate? You've kept your wife on a 6 until 2020. Shame on you, man.
A long time.
That's the jump I did, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. But that's not funny. That's the point. I take the piss out of Dodgy's funny.
Oh, fair enough.
You not upgrading your phone through your own choice is not funny.
Oh, shut up.
No. It wasn't funny.
No, I know.
I thought this was kind of interesting because a couple of weeks ago, did you notice that the Prime Video app upgraded? And it wouldn't let you play mm-hmm. the old one, but the old one didn't delete. It didn't upgrade the old one. It came out with a completely brand new app. So you've got both applications yeah. still on your device now. You've got the white Prime Video and you've got the blue Prime Video. And I thought, that's really weird. Why are they not just upgraded the old one? Here's the answer. Because they've got in-app purchasing on the new one.
You know, it for me, it upgraded on my iPad.
No, I've still got the white one.
Yeah, I have the blue icon, and the first time I launched the Prime Video app after the upgrade happened, there was a dialogue right in the middle of the screen that said, "Hey, you know, you can buy stuff right in the app now."
Yeah. So, and I'm just thinking, there's no way Apple's taking 30% out of Prime's.
No.
Because I mean, Amazon's not making 30% on any of the stuff that they sell. In terms of media content through there anyway.
I'm not so sure about that, but... Like,
they're not making Apple 30% something. On a top-level movie. Never. No. Never.
Yeah, that's probably true.
In a million years, never.
Yeah. I think Gruber posted a long blog post today about this very thing, and I got about halfway through and then gave up because it's very complex. It depends whether or not you're an existing subscriber or a new subscriber.
He speaks very highly of you, Don.
I mean,
I used to watch all your stuff, Gruber, but now it's boring shit.
Yeah, I mean, for normal developers like you and me, basically, if you like put up an app with a subscription, the first year it's 30%, and then like if someone stays with your app for more than a year, it goes down to 15%. So I'm pretty sure Apple's
not taking 30% of Almond, mate.
No, Amazon and whatever, they have special deals with Apple, like 15% or probably even way less than that.
Yeah, no, that's, way, I mean, way less than that.
There was, yeah, I mean, there was this whole like negotiation between Apple and Amazon going on with like, I mean, the Audible app and like a lot of
Well, the
things.
App coming on
like,
the Apple TV as well, that was a massive change exactly. as well, because that had purchases within it as well as. So this is just an extension
of
that,
I think
that,
that's just... part of that, like it was part of the negotiation that they figured out how to do it, and like Amazon just took a little while to like bring it to all devices.
Yeah, apparently
this has been
derogatories.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it has been in the contract since like whenever that Apple TV app was announced.
So the other thing I was going to interject is apparently this isn't new, the in-app purchase for the Amazon app. There's another two apps, but they're apps that people don't really use or know about. So they already have this mechanism built in. It's just that with the Amazon Prime app being such a well-known app that it's sort of bubbled to the top.
yeah, you still can't do it with Audible. I mean, you can use your credits now, but you still can't buy new credits or anything.
I just want to buy books. I just want to show this just to prove I'm not going mental. But I don't know if you can see it. Look, I've got both icons. I got the white one and the blue one.
Mm-hmm.
And you click the white one, crazy, and it doesn't work. You click the blue one, and it does.
I've only got the blue one.
And you don't get the upgrade notice with the white one anymore. It just says, no, bugger off.
It's broken.
Sod off.
I still have the white one.
Do you own anything that's... I know this isn't directed at you, Don, because 2013 MacBook Airs are operating as doorstops for you at the moment. But 2013 and 2014 MacBook Air and MacBook Pro models will be hitting the obsolete line at the end of April. MacBook Air 11-inch mid-2013, 13-inch 2013, 11-inch early 2014, 13-inch early 2014, MacBook Pro 13-inch mid-2014, all hitting the obsolete line. I was going to say that's quite a good story, actually. It's quite positive because I've got a 2014 MacBook Air 11-inch that I had made. I made it deliberately to take it with me on the flight to Macworld in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still a cracking machine. I mean, it crunches Final Cut without a problem. You can do a hell of a lot on it still. Photoshop runs with no issues at all. It is a very lucid machine. And Apple haven't obsoleted it for 6 years. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I mean,
what's the usual? I think, is it 6 or 7 years for Apple, like the usual
point? Usually, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of fairly surprised that it wasn't in the last OS in Catalina, because I was expecting machines from, I think it's 2011 to 2014 that will be cut off now. I was surprised it didn't happen in the last one. I don't know if it's a good thing or not necessarily, because again, got my engineer's hat on. The hardware isn't any different, so the kind of structure has been a little bit unfair. It is literally just a number. So if you buy a 2015 MacBook Pro and a 2014 MacBook Pro, the hardware is very, very similar. Obviously, there's different gens of processors and stuff like that. But it's very, very similar. But that's just me.
Yeah. On the other hand, it's probably good for you because Apple stopped supporting it. So that's like all the people that have it.
Absolutely.
Come to you, right? Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But I just think it's a shame sometimes. But yeah. There you go.
To some extent, it's an arbitrary date or an arbitrary bind that Apple draws. On the other hand, I mean, as like a developer, I can understand why. I mean, at some point, you have to simply cut it off and say, okay, like it's...
Yeah, of course.
Otherwise, you have to build for the lowest, like this lowest, the slowest machine all the time. And like that limits you in what you can do.
Yeah.
So to some extent, you simply have to do it at some point. And Apple just choose the state. I mean, it has been like this for forever. So it's like a well-known quantity.
Yeah. The key part is if it continues to work, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I can still run on the old OS. And Don, do you remember the Mac Pro that you sent down?
Oh, yeah.
That still runs every week.
Yeah,
it does the screen sharing to do the VNCs for all of the Mac Minis, and it sits there, purrs away. It's got half a dozen drives attached to it, so it acts as a server for the office, and it still runs beautifully.
And it's heating up the room for you and chewing all that.
I don't pay for heating anymore.
No, I still have a 2011 13-inch MacBook Air that it works fine. The only issue with it is that the backlight isn't working as well as it used to for the display. Mm-hmm. So like half the screen starts off a little bit darker than the other half, but as it runs, the brightness comes back up. And
the common issue, it's a common one on those. The CPUs actually tend to go on those, and you get them beeping as if it's got no RAM installed, but obviously RAM solder to the motherboard, so it kind of in an odd way manifests itself with the brightness thing. But but for a 10-year-old machine,
it's
a couple of weeks ago I did the podcast on a 2009 iMac. You know, that can go up to El Capitan 10.11, and that and that does run okay for your basic tasks. So,
and there's still handlings as well, isn't there? Because I mean, the thing is, the I've got Catalina running on the 2014 MacBook Air 11-inch, and it's beautiful. It runs probably better now on that than it did on Snow Leopard, I think, which was what it shipped with, or Mountain Lion, maybe.
Yeah, of course.
And it's perfectly fine. But there's hacks out there as well, isn't there, to run the old OSs, the new OSs on the old machines?
There are, yeah. I don't recommend them to people, to be honest, just because it's they do work, and I've seen people who do use them, especially people who have 17-inch MacBooks. So obviously they kind of cut those off, and people do really like using those, and they are powerful machines, especially if you get kind of high-end ones. But I don't recommend them to people just because it is it's like an accident waiting to happen, as far as I'm concerned. So
Muller's typed in here, Callum, is that Mac older than you?
Probably, yeah. Most things are.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is risky, and I mean, usually there's a reason. I mean, Apple is on the software side very good at like pushing it as far as they think it can go. I mean, there's probably a little bit headroom still, like especially if you like. I mean, they take the base model, so if you say like it's whatever a 2010 15-inch, they don't take the 15-inch top model, they take that as okay, the base models. If they're not good enough like to run the latest and greatest, that's when they cut it off. So the top model might even have a little bit extra room, but like there's a reason. Like you usually can't use all features anyway anymore. Like certain things don't work, like a handover and whatever that needs the newer Bluetooth chips, all of that. So it's already getting it to a point where it's like where features are missing that you might want. So it's always a little bit, for me at least, it would be a little bit too risky.
Exactly that. I mean, it's you tend to find, as long as it's within a couple of operating systems, it does actually tend to work quite well. But it's as soon as, you know, something goes wrong, you're in a world of trouble. Exactly that. As soon as you start to get kind of too old, you know, you are kind of struggling with hardware. So,
Muller hasn't worked out that would make Callum 11 and would be head technician of Iron Man Max at the age of 11, same age as my daughter.
Well, he's a protege.
There we go. I hadn't thought that. Basically, the amount of alcohol he consumed at the night he came over to our place, I'd be worried if he was my son at 11 years old. Batwinch says, it's only 5:10. I've got the urge to get on my PJs and hit the wine. How depressing is that? You're too behind, girl. Sorry. The rest don't matter. Dodsy keeps typing stuff to try and defend himself because of the comment I made about his wife, but he doesn't realise I haven't got to read them out. I've read the one out that did the damage. I don't need to read anymore. Apple's 2020 MacBook Air versus the 2020 iPad Pro. Last story. There's a comparison been done on Mac Rumors, and it came out pretty favourably, it has to be said. And I thought as well it was interesting was the Bridge keyboard and trackpad was out this week, and that's got some real big reviews, and it's kind of half the price of Apple's effort. Is the iPad absolutely at the level that you could take it as a computer now? Because this story was saying it was.
It's the same old story. Exactly. I mean, when I was away on this last trip...
Let's qualify that. Let's say it's on the road then, because that fits with what you're about to say, I think, Don.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a great machine, and I use it tons. You know, I spend probably more time on the iPad than I do on the Mac, but it's for different purposes. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was away on this trip, I needed to do just a simple thing of transferring some files to set up the magazine. I just couldn't do it with the iPad. I just literally was trying to copy one file on iCloud Drive to another drive and move it, and it just wouldn't do it. And it takes forever to do just the simplest of things for some aspects. Everything else, it's perfect. It's a great machine, and probably now for the majority of people doing the majority of things, it is perfectly fine.
Have you ordered a new one, Don?
No, I didn't. I was going to again. I was away.
See what I mean about consumers not buying?
I had a few other things on my mind at the time, so I thought, and it would have arrived when I was still away, so I thought, no, I've not really got around to reconsidering it again. But I used to do the iPad all the time, and I might wait for the next one. I might wait for the next one.
Yeah, I think we talked about that when we talked about the new iPad Pros, that like it comes down to to the software, which definitely is not as good in a lot of areas. I mean, some areas it's fine, mm-hmm. like it depends, but in a lot of areas it's not as good yet. The hardware itself, I mean, that is like a really good machine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I just thought it was interesting whether because mm-hmm. the new one, I've got the original Pro, mm-hmm. the 12-inch, and it's stunning. It still runs smooth as snow. Yeah. The one I just held up here, it's still the original iPad Pro, and it's beautiful. I don't feel a mm-hmm. need to change for it because I only tend to use it for the notes app with the pencil if I go to a meeting or something like that, or just email and that kind of thing with the Logitech fold-out keyboard. But the new one, it would certainly do for an on-the-road machine. If I was going away for 2 days and all I wanted to do was make sure I picked up stuff, mm-hmm. it's useless for editing. There's no question. It's not even close for, I shudder at the thought of opening iMovie. It's such a bag of crap.
yeah.
But again, there are some third-party editors that are apparently, brilliant on it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Probably for simple editing jobs, like it might actually... Like if you have a third-party app, it might do. I'm editing podcasts with Ferrite, for example, and that's for simple simple podcast edits where it's not much to do. It works just fine. Like I'm actually preferring that over the Mac.
Excellent. No. Oh, what a great weekend it's been. It's going to get hotter as well, isn't it, boys? 19 degrees, I reckon, this weekend in the UK. Excellent. So get out there and enjoy the barbecues. Do everything you possibly can. Although there is a big queue around the local supermarket by us. You can't get in. So everyone's thinking the same thing. There'll be no beer left by about 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
That's just sad.
This podcast and others is supported by two companies that really do look after us. They are investing in us at an emotional level, not just a physical level. TSO give us two massive servers. One hosts all the content going all the way back to Don McAllister's original appearance on The Mac Show. The Mac Men Cometh. You can go right the way back and the first ever Mac Show is right there. Big shows go back to the same level, 2009, I think. There's tons and tons and tons of our old rubbish on there that you can download and listen to. And that's thanks to them. And they provide the live server as well, which does all of the live broadcasting that the people in the chat room are watching right now. And we love them to bits. Please support them. The first level of support that you can give them is just to get on the socials. Just tweet out, thanks at IMNMac for supporting at British Tech. That is it. Just give the brand recognition. That's all they want from you. Get out there and do that. And that makes a massive difference to them. Then, if you want to order their stuff, anything for domains, VPS, VPN, hosting, domain names, you can do that too. And you've got an offer code BTN20 and they'll get 20% off your basket. But please, just do the brand recognition for them. Get on the socials, especially now when people are at home and using the socials a lot. It'd be really, really cool if you could do that and do that. Thanks very much for them. And also, thanks to IMNMax. These are the guys based in Birmingham. Callum's the head engineer there. And they do anything that needs any repair to anything with an Apple logo on it. Plain and simple. You've got your old iPod, they'll fix it. You've got your PowerBook 100, they'll fix it. You've got your original, eventually, when you get the parts in. And I can get the machine over to you.
Yeah, we've got the parts, actually.
I feel ashamed now. Your old Mac SE that was a prototype that you haven't got the Torx screws for, they can do that. If you drop your iPhone... drop your iPad, simple stuff like that, they'll do that too. Anything that's refurbished as well, they'll give you some units. If you want a simple MacBook Air or something like that for the kids to do their homework on or answer a bit of email, use a bit of Twitter and the socials, they can give you that. And also there's data curry as well. Have we got a machine of the week, Callum?
Yes. Unfortunately, it's the same as last week. So we've still got four... we are still open for selling refurbs, so if you do need any devices, do get in touch. We can get hold of them all the time. We can get them out to you within about 48 to 72 hours. So so we've got four very nice 21 inch iMacs, the same as the one I'm actually doing the podcast on there. So really, really nice machines, and they're retailing for about $650 from ourselves. If you were to go to Well, you can't go to an Apple store, but if you were to go to Apple and buy one, it's about £1,200. So Some good value items there.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Do appreciate that. And thanks to all of the suppliers who look after us on BTN, because without them, we'd be lost. And that includes you, because you can give us a donation through britishtechnetwork.com/sponsorship, and that will support Kyle doing the news show. So every morning, Kyle does a five-minute news show of the previous 5 minutes of tech for the day. He's perfectly placed because, you know, America shuts down on the West Coast, and then he opens up in the Philippines, does the show, and posts it in time for your breakfast here. If you can, go and give us just $5 a month. Simple as that. If everyone gave us $5 that listens to this show, we'd be doing this full-time permanently. It's that simple. Without being able to pay Kyle, the show's going to go away. So, and there's a lot of people actually responded this week, so thank you very much to those people who've given us more. We really do appreciate it. Right, it's time for the cool thing, eh? Starts off, Jeffrey.
All right, well, my cool thing this week is NeuroCam Pro for iOS. And the reason I'm picking this is because I was having a discussion a few days ago with someone that wanted an option for older iPhones to be able to do the night mode sort of thing that you can do with the new iPhones. And so I said, well, go check out NeuroCam Pro. It's not the same as having the full-on night mode that you get in the new iPhones, but this is a really good app for taking those low light shots. And it's inexpensive too. It's $5 US. And it's just a really nice app for doing low light shots
Is the quality of the image pretty good or equivalent to the night shot or a bit worse?
If you took the same shot with a new iPhone using the night mode, you can see the difference. Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
But for someone that where that's not an option, okay, well, here you go. Here's a really nice way to inexpensively get much better low light photos on your iPhone than you would otherwise be able to get.
Yeah, that's good. $4.99 on the App Store. Brilliant.
Yep.
Good pick, mate.
And
thank you very much.
If you can put your iPhone on a stable surface or a tripod when you're making the shots, you'll definitely get better quality.
Yeah, always. Patrice, what have you got for us, mate?
I'm going to pick another podcast. It's actually like a podcast that I've been like waiting for another episode. It's Chuck's Trek Favorite, because it is an amazing like podcast where people just talk about like what's their favorite Star Trek episode, or one of their favorite Star Trek episodes, I should say. It doesn't have to be the favorite. It just has to be one of them. And it's like, I listened like back to one or two episodes simply because I was looking for something to listen to. And it is like, I really enjoy it. Like, I mean, I like we all know Chuck, we love him. Like it's fun to listen to him and fun to listen to like the people he has on and why they like how they grew up with Star Trek and why this episode speaks to them. And it's sometimes very different. It's not the like not always the usual suspects you would expect. Sometimes it's like fairly like lesser known or like sometimes even like lower rated by most people. Episodes that for some reason speak to like whoever is on, and like when you listen to it, it makes sense. It's like, oh yeah, okay, that like I understand why this episode especially is something that you enjoyed and that speaks to you.
The latest episode has got some bloke called Gamut on it.
Well, it's still a good podcast overall.
Mm-hmm. It is. So as I said, Trek Favorites. I think is it trekfavorites.com?
Trekfavorites.com, yeah.
Yeah.
So. No U, don't forget, if you're in the UK. Favorites okay. Without the U.
You should just buy both of them and just redirect.
And if you scroll all the way back to episode 16, there's some bloke called Rankin there. who looks a lot thinner and a lot healthier, I have to say.
Well, that's from the before time.
But yeah, I did Tin Man, which is one of the lesser hailed episodes. So that sounds out what Patrice is saying.
I'm definitely going to have a look at that.
Oh, if you're a Star Trek fan.
I'm a big Trek fan, yeah.
Well, the thing is, if you dislike Discovery and Picard, like a lot of us have in the last few months, it doesn't matter because it's going through all the episodes when it was proper Star Trek, when it, you know, there was a series and there was an element in each individual episode. Huh? You're nodding there, mate. You're with me on that.
That's proper Star Trek.
Proper Star Trek.
I've been.
I still disagree with that, but.
Yeah. Shut up, Patrice. No one knows. No one cares.
I've been rewatching DS9 actually while we've all been off. So,
I thought you were going to say you've been watching it while we were doing this show. I was like, it's not that bad.
No, I have to own up though that I did get invited on, but unfortunately, although I was a great Star Trek fan when I was younger, I just never followed the series, so I couldn't pinpoint a single episode to talk about, so I had to decline the invitation. So credentials were in doubt.
Have a word with Muller afterwards. Muller, get in contact with Don, send him your Plex server link, and he's got all of the TNGs, all of the DS9s, all of the Voyager, and all of the original series on there. So pick one and watch it twice, and then go on the show. You've got to watch it twice, though.
Yeah, you'll be ready to go on in about a month. Yeah.
Callum, what have you got for us, mate?
So I've got an app which is in setup again. Something I've been using a lot. Called Spotless.
You're gonna get my cool thing, aren't you?
It's called Spotless.
Oh, it's not mine. That's all right then.
That's worked in the chat.
Don, he's already said he's already sent you the invitation to go on his Plex server. There you go.
Thank you very much.
That is the power that Don McAllister wields in the Mac universe. Sorry, Callum, go on.
No, it's fine. So it's an app called Spotless. I'll just try and get that in the chat now. So basically, all it is an app that allows you to set up rules for files. So say if you have a desktop full of files that you need to move, you just drag them into a little kind of folder and it will distribute them to wherever they need to go. So, really handy. I've literally only downloaded it today, so I'm still kind of having to play with it. But I've quite enjoyed it so far in terms of how it organises it, and it's fairly intuitive to use as well. So
good stuff, mate. Thank you, Don. You remembered that we did a cool thing?
Oh yeah.
I was thinking as we started, I was like, Don hasn't got a cool thing.
I know. Well, I'm going to go with an old favourite of mine anyway. I'm going to go with a VPN service called Encrypt Me. They used to be called something else, which I can't for the life of me remember what they were called.
Yes.
Cloak? Cloak, yeah.
I think it was Cloak.
But it's an iOS Mac-based service. It's a subscription-based service. Really simple to use. Never had a single issue with it. You can either just use it as a VPN or you can use a transporter feature so you can pretend to be in a different country. They do personal subscriptions, family subscriptions, and subscriptions for Teams. But I like the app. The app on iOS is great, and it integrates really well with the operating system. And again, I use it on the Mac all the time as well. So you can get like unlimited data as well. It's not one of these where you have a set quota of data. So just quickly look in the unlimited data for a single month is like $10 or $100 for 12 months. But, if you do a lot of traveling or if you just want to make sure that you're fully protected, it's always good to have a good VPN service. And that's my one of choice, encrypt.me.
Yeah, good. Yeah,
and like a little secret, if you have, I think only in the US, might be in the UK, if you have Eero and you have Eero, whatever, plus secure, whatever it's called now, that actually comes with one password and with EncryptMe.
Ah, right. No, I didn't know that.
So, yeah, that's how I used it, like, in the past. Unfortunately, they don't have that in most of the rest of the world.
Nope. I tried to get that network, but couldn't get it.
So. Cool. Thank you, Don. My cool thing is in setup as well, and it's short menu. This was only actually pushed out this morning as a promotional email. Now in setup, try short menu. and it's their app of the week, and I've used it about six times in the first hour of installing it. It's absolutely brilliant. I love it. So basically, it takes any, it's a Bitly kind of thing, isn't it? It just takes mm-hmm. any URL that you've got, and it shorts it in something that's a bit more pasteable. Everything that I've done in WhatsApp today with a group that I'm in, I've shortened it. Everything that I've done with everything else, I've shortened the URL. It's just brilliant. I absolutely adore it already, and I've only had it installed for about 6 hours so far. So short menu, and it's part of setup. And if you've not got part of setup, and you're not a subscriber to Screencast Online, and you're a Mac user, then you're a dumbass. Simple as that. I'm sorry, there's no polite way of putting it.
I've just downloaded that anyway. That's fantastic,
mate. You will love that. Before the end of today, you'll be saying, "You and I owe you whiskey."
Steady on.
Or vodka, or something,
or a beer. Yeah.
Or a beer. I'll do a beer. That's fine. That's cool. Definitely do a beer. Where can we get a hold of you, Jeff?
You can find me over at textexpander.com, Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamut. And I'm going to throw a shout out to Screencast Online also, because Allison Sheridan did a killer text expander training video for mm-hmm. Screencast Online. And yeah, it is just great. And Allison, she was keeping track of how many questions she was asking me personally about how to do things in Text Expander. And I think it was close to 700 questions.
With Allison Sheridan, why does that not surprise me?
Yeah, I mean, it's just Allison.
Me and Allison are best friends, by the way, if anyone's listening and doesn't know.
Also go to textexpander.com/webinar and sign up for all the webinars that I do. Next week, there's one for Text Expander Teams users that need to be administrators for the team. And cool. I did one yesterday for beginners. And anyhow.
Text Expander is brill, and you've got to sign up for it because you get a discount. If you listen to BTN,
20% off.
20% off.
Nice.
Yeah. BTN 2020. There you go. Use that code.
There we go. Brilliant, mate. Thank you very much. Patrice, where would you be, mate?
Well, every week here on the Mac Show and later on today, also on the Big Show, I have a new podcast. I literally just recorded the first episode yesterday. It's called Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com. And everything I do, including that link, is on the Patrice.
I need to get on that soon because I want to go on with my Grand's Trifle, but but I'm worried that Trifle's actually probably going to be a popular dish, so I need to get on there before anyone else snabs Trifle.
Well, it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, it's not.
Oh, so you're not running it like Chuck's thing, because he's like, you can't do Dharmak and Jalad at Tanagra because that was like the second one that happened, so someone snagged it.
No. It's like, it's literally like, I mean, if we end up with like seven different stories about mac and cheese and trifles and whatever, we're like, that's fine. Like, it's not about the food. It's about the story behind it. That's the interesting thing. I talked to Doc yesterday about a lot of things like preserving food. Like, he did that with his grandma. I did that with my grandma. There's so many stories that like you only even remember when you start talking about it. So as I said, it's more about the story and less about like the dish itself.
Brilliant.
So like whatever, like we can have seven. I mean, I'm pretty sure like your trifles is anyway different than like someone else's. So.
But yeah, mate. See, no. Well, I don't want to go. I'll save it for the show. Save it for the show because otherwise, people will come in and say, no, my grandma did that too, and then I won't feel good.
As I said, it's about the story behind it. That's the interesting part.
Cheers, man. Callum, where are you, buddy?
So you can get hold of me and us, I suppose, at onomax.com, info@onomax. Give us a ring. Get in touch with us. We are here to answer questions. We're still selling devices. We're still giving support to people. You can get hold of me on Twitter @OharaCallum. Again, if you want to fire any questions towards me in the Slack room as well. Just come and ask me anything. I'll help you out best as I can.
Thank you, mate. Cheers. And finally, Don.
Well, you can find me across screencastonline.com, and it's not just me these days. We've got a team of presenters now. So as well as Alison, who's fantastic, we've got another three fantastic presenters. We've got Todd Altoff, we've got Rosemary Orchard, and we've got Lee Garrett. So between the five of us, we do all the two shows a week, a tip show and a full show. And I know it's times are a bit strange at the moment, so people have got plenty of time on their hands. So what we've done is we've reduced the we've put in a special 3-month membership for like 50% off if people just want to go on and download all those all the tutorials that we've got. I think there's about 800 or 900 tutorials in the archive, including Text Expander and pretty much any or every sort of good third party app that you might want to learn about, you can you can download from Screencast Online. And we've got the magazine as well, which is included. And we've got the Apple TV app and the iOS app as well. So, yeah, check it out, screencastonline.com.
I'm not saying you've been around a while, but your first show was on Cheetah, wasn't it?
Oh, it's, yeah, probably.
Wow.
System 6.
was a long time ago, 1996, I think it was.
Yeah.
Might have been 95, actually, yeah.
Edison got the first audio scroll out, and then Don posted it online.
Wasn't that long ago.
All right, yeah. Okay.
We've been going a while.
Before I might be exaggerating a bit.
Before I was born. There you go.
Yeah, because you're only 11. My name's Ian Rankin. Get me at Ian Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. You can also follow me on Instagram at 12 Space Media. We've done a load of stuff on macro photography this week. I took my daughter in to one side and I showed her how to make a little macro flash out of a Pringles tube. And then I showed her how to do macro photography. And the results were great. So it's worth looking on Instagram for that. Back again at 6 o'clock, 25 minutes away from now, with the photo show. And then we're back at 8 p.m. with the big show. Have an absolutely fabulous weekend. It's going to be roasting here in the UK. Enjoy it. Stay safe. Stay isolated. Stay at home, protect the NHS, and the other one I can't remember. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.